During the last 3 weeks that we've been able to meet here, we've averaged about 35, and the government has capped us at 50 right now. We're almost at capacity right now. So we're close to 50 people in here right now. And I know this is somewhat uncomfortable. I know it's somewhat inconvenient. You're not alone in this. A lot of people feel that way right now. And you know, it's just something we've got to put up with for a little while. Things will go back to normal, and we got to remember that. This is a season in time, so we just have to be patient. We've had our grandsons here since March. They're going home today. And so if Denise looks a little glassy-eyed and lost and doesn't know where she's at or what's happening, that's why she is. She's kind of in shock right now. She's losing her babies. And so that's, you know, just the way it is. Let's bow for a word of prayer this morning before we get started. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. Father, we thank you that you care for us the way you do. We don't always understand your ways. We don't always understand what's happening and why things don't work out the way we want it to. But Father, we can have confidence that you are in control, that you have everything in hand. Mm-hmm. We pray that in this season, this will be a awakening up of people in this world. That it will wake up their spiritual hearts. It will wake them up for their need for you. Mm-hmm. And as your church, help us, Lord, to recognize that. Help us to be willing to speak out and to reach out the way we need to. Be with us now today as we settle down and we spend some moments studying your word. Pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
We're starting a series today that I call Refining Our Focus. And with all that's going around us, I feel that we need reminding about what our focus needs to be in life. It's easy to forget that. And I think we all at different times forget what's really important, what is necessary in life. There are things in life that are important, and there are things in life that are necessary. They're not always the same thing. So we need reminding at times. I want to start out by reading a paragraph from an article written by a man who is he was a salesman, and he was a Christian. And it's entitled, Negotiations, the Heart is the Battleground. It says, we are studying Paul's letter to Philemon for some excellent strategies for win-win negotiations. Paul begins his letter in verse 1 by identifying himself as Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Thus, the first strategy is to appeal to the heart or emotions. You see, the heart is the battleground in any negotiations. We may use our intellect to argue our case, but the decision is made mostly in and by the heart or emotions. In fact, experts say that 90% of the decision is in the heart and only 10% is in the mind. And don't think that's not true. Advertising executives, they know that. They appeal to your emotions to get you to buy things. They don't appeal to your intellect. If we thought about it enough, we probably wouldn't buy it. But this man here says that the heart, and he's talking from a Christian's perspective here, he says the heart is the battleground where decisions are made. And that's especially true with decisions regarding our faith. The field of battle that we Christians engage in is the heart. And any military commander worth his salt will examine the field of battle first before he sends his troops into combat. And we need to do that. And our heart should not be an exception because it is a field full of danger and surprises. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to read verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. Paul says, this. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Paul here is talking about the battles we fight in our heart. And he said we have special weapons for that. They demolish strongholds and pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of Christ. First question I think we need to ask is, what exactly do we mean when we say the heart? We don't mean that muscular pump that we have right here in our chest.
That's right.
It means a man's entire mental and moral activity, both rational and emotional. It includes his thoughts, his conscience, his morality, and his desires. The heart is the most important and the most dangerous part of a man. Jeremiah 17:9 says this about the heart. Listen carefully to this. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? That's your heart, by the way. And when a man just follows his heart, that's something you hear the world say a lot, right? Just follow your heart. He's asking for trouble. And I think a lot of people have shipwrecked their lives by following their heart. Because the heart will lie to you. The heart, though, needs to be acknowledged. You know, a lot of people don't even acknowledge it. It needs to be acknowledged. You got to know you have one. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be tended to throughout your life. You can't ignore it. You got to take care of it and protect it. Without proper attention, it can go off the rails and it can hurt a person at any point in his life. You might have it under control now, but if you don't continue to take care of it, it could lead you astray later on. The heart is our battlefield and our spiritual war that we are called to fight as Christians. But it also affects every other area of our life. The heart is where the war for man is won or lost. The heart is where heaven is gained or hell is decided. Scripture tells us that a pure heart is necessary to be with God. Sure. Turn to Psalms 24. Psalms chapter 24, we're going to look at verses 3 and through 4. Psalms 24, verses 3 and 4. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who do not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He asked the question, David asked the question, who can stand in God's holy place? And he answers it. He said, you've got to have clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart, they go hand in hand with each other. See, your clean hand reflects the condition of your heart. Your clean hand, your hands represent your work, your deeds, the actions in your life. David speaks about this in Psalms 15. Flip over there real fast. Psalms 15, we're looking at the first 5 verses. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? Here's his answer. He whose walk is going blameless, and who does not, and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart, and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong, and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury, and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. All those things David mentions here are the actions of your hands, the way you live your life. You know, we may not be able to read a person's heart. I wish I had that ability, but I don't. But we can judge it by a person's actions.
Right.
If you watch a person for a while, you'll eventually determine, figure out what's going on in his heart.
Right.
Not in all things, but in some things.
That's right.
Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. When I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's word, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. Paul warned Timothy to keep an eye on certain men. He says to watch what they're doing, to listen to what they're saying, to what they're teaching. Verse 4 gives an interesting insight into these peoples whose hearts, by the way, have been corrupted. Starting in the middle of verse 3, it says, command certain men not to teach false doctrine any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's word, which is by faith. See, these are people who would rather cut off their brothers and sisters in Christ in favor of really what I'll call non-essential teachings and practices. Things that aren't important, but they produce controversy. They get people stirred up. So they'd rather spend their time with that than what's really important. Some of these things, I've seen these things all my life in the church. I call some of them pet doctrines and pet practices people have. These things are not really biblical. But maybe they came from a church that used to do these things. Maybe they heard it from a preacher that they really held to high esteem. You know, as preachers, we can get pet doctrines and teachings and stuff that we teach that aren't really biblical. But yet we held this person such high esteem. It's got to be biblical. And we push and we promote these things instead of really digging into God's word ourselves. Trying to impose our rights over non-essential things, things that aren't important. I've seen that happen in the church too. I've seen people in the church say, I have the right to do these things. I've ran into people like this in every church I've been a part of. They're religious. These people can be very religious. See, I mean, these people that Paul warned Timothy about, they were part of the church. They wanted to teach. Did you notice that? They wanted to be in a position of authority. They're not necessarily bad people. The problem is they've not properly prepared their hearts. It's still a heart problem. Verse 5 gives us this warning. It tells us the why. Verse 5 says, the goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. A pure heart always has love towards one's brother. sisters in Christ and always has their best interest at heart.
Amen.
That's so important to people with a good heart. Other people become very important in their welfare. Verse 6 and 7 explains why there are some who do not understand and do not obey the word of God. Listen to what it says. It says, some have wandered away from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teaching the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. And brothers and sisters, hear this. Maybe this will help you in helping them. Because see, if your heart is pure too, you will want to help these people. Maybe they can be, maybe they can't, but you will want to help them. Okay? It's a heart problem. People like that have a heart problem. And that's what we got to deal with. That's really what we have to deal with each one of us, is our heart. We need to be involved in helping one another protect and groom our hearts.
Right.
A pure heart, though, is not a perfect heart. Sometimes I think we got to be perfect, right? Our heart needs to be perfect. Our heart, that's not a pure heart. You know, a pure heart is not a religious heart. I know a lot of religious people who don't have pure hearts.
That's right.
This is a pure heart. A pure heart is a seeking heart. A pure heart is a heart that's seeking God and seeking God's will and seeking God's ways and seeking what God wants.
That's right.
That's a pure heart.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's a heart that's seeking God above all else, especially through His Word.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture tells us that the condition of our heart determines how we respond to this world and to God. Listen to Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart.
Yes.
For it is the wellspring of life.
Amen.
Some translation says it is the source of life.
Mm-hmm.
Guard it. Protect it.
That's right.
It says do it above all else. Our heart is not just an important thing. It is one of the necessary things in life that we need to take consider. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Jesus here. He's speaking. And He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your treasure? What's important to you? Okay? What do you... I don't know. How do I figure out my treasure? What do you spend your time doing? What do you spend money on? You know, those two things right there will give you a good insight into what treasure is. Do you remember the temptations that Satan brought to Jesus there in the wilderness? Those 40 days that he was fasting? He first offered him food. You remember that? In other words, he kept trying to tell Jesus, if you'll just bow to me, I'll meet your earthly needs and your earthly wants. Sounds familiar? And Jesus rejected that. And so then he probed Jesus regarding his true faith. Did he really have faith in the Father?
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to test God and see if he tried to get Jesus to test God to see if God was trustworthy or not. See, and really that was a slight upon Jesus' faith, is what that was. And then he offered him power and authority. I mean, what man could resist that? Most men can't. Jesus turned them all down. He did it because he knew the Word of God in his heart, and he trusted it over everything else. You want to resist Satan today? That's how you do it today. You trust in the Word of God and His promises above everything else when the temptations come. I like certain movies. I don't like all movies. I'm not a movie buff. My wife can probably tell you that, because she'll start a lot of movies and I'll just tune them out. They just don't interest me, okay? But there's certain movies I can watch. If I see a movie I like, I can watch it over and over and over and over again. I don't tire of it. I love the Lord of the Rings trilogies. I thought that was Hollywood at its best. And there's a line in the opening monologue of the first movie that has always haunted me a little bit. And it goes like this. And nine rings were gifted to the race of men who above all else desire power. Does that not sum up mankind? We desire power, authority, riches, all that comes with it. I mean, if you don't think that's true, just look at our politicians, guys. You know, many men and women get into politics for noble reasons. I've heard many people who got into politics says they wanted to try and make the world better. But before long, they get tempted by the money and the power, and it overpowers their heart. And they become enslaved by it. See, the problem was they did not properly prepare their heart and protect it, as the proverb warned. We need to be just as careful with our hearts, or our heart can get overpowered by the riches and the glitter of this world.
Right.
Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring or the source of life. Scripture teaches us that our greatest struggle will be within our own heart. Look at Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Why don't you look what it says about man? This is before the flood. I don't know how many years there were between the creation in Genesis 1 and 2 and the flood. But there's a lot shorter distance between now, isn't it? Then and now. It says in verse 5, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become. And that, get this, every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Boy, we struggle with that, do we not? Do you struggle with evil in your heart? You're lying if you don't say yes. We all do. And that's evil, by the way, a lot. Even if you're lying to yourself, it's still wrong. You remember Jeremiah 17:9 I read a while ago? The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The New American Standard Version says that, and instead of it beyond cure, it says that it's desperately sick.
Ooh.
And that, you know, that's a good description of our heart. Just follow your heart, guys. Turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark 7, verses 20 through 23. It says, he went on, verse 20. Jesus here speaking. He says, what comes out of man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of man's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. What dwells in the hearts of men? Jesus just told us. He says, these are what makes you unclean. That's why we have to guard and protect and prepare our hearts. See, the problem has always been our hearts. It's always been our hearts. There was a time in my life, though, and this was when I was much younger. This was BB before Denise. A lot. change my situation, all these problems go away. I thought my problems were related to my situation in life. And if I could change it, everything would be a lot better. You know, and I think a lot, we think of that a lot. If I could just change my location or my job, my life. Some people say, if I could just change my spouse, my life would be better. And I did. I moved away from home. I thought if I could just get away, start all over with a clean slate, and I could make things so much better. But you know what? I got there, and lo and behold, my problems packed their bags and followed me too. I had the exact same problems where I moved to that I had back at home. Because see, the problem was not my situation. It was not my home, my location, my job. It was me. It was my heart. See, I had not changed. I was still the person that in my new location that I was in my old location. And I realized over time that wherever I went, my heart and its condition went with me. You know, a lot of people, they blame their problem, their difficulty on everything except the real problem, their heart. They blame others. They blame their situation. They blame their boss. They blame their wife or their husband, whatever, their parents, whatever. I have to say that, my son's here. Okay? God rebuked the Jews for that attitude. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 36 and 37. See, the Jews thought that if they could just go someplace else, that things would be much better. And God rebukes them with that attitude. Verse 36 of chapter 2. He says, why do you go about so much changing your ways? You'll be disappointed by Egypt, as you were by Assyria. You will also leave that place with your hands on your head, for the Lord has rejected those you trust. You will not be helped by them. Their problem was not their situation. Their problem was their heart and the fact that they had turned it away from God. See, the Jews were doing what a lot of people today do. They're looking out here for everything else, for peace in their life. And it's not there. They're not going to find it there.
Right.
And God is telling them that their peace is with Him. And having a heart dedicated towards Him. And we get our heart aligned with God, and we seek Him with all our heart, and we serve Him with all our heart. And brothers and sisters, we'll know the peace that Paul talked about in Philippians 4 that passes all understanding. Blaise Pascal said this. He said that there are two kinds of people one can call reasonable. Those who serve God with all their hearts because they know Him, and those who seek Him with all their heart because they do not know Him. I'd have to say both of those were pure hearts. See, the problem is that many people never consider the heart a battleground, much less the effect that their heart has upon their life and its outcome. They just go through life living it day after day with hardly a thought towards God unless something goes awry in their life.
Right, that's right.
And then they get depressed. They seek comfort in the bottle or drugs, or they believe that their situation is the problem and that they need to change the situation. And they never realize how close the problem is. Where are you at in all this? Have you realized the great need to get your heart right with God? To protect your heart and to guard your heart? Have you considered the importance of developing, maintaining a pure heart? To protect it from the wickedness and the evil that is so prevalent around us Everywhere you look today, you're going to see it. Even if you stay home, I bet you turn on your television, don't you? Or your radio.
Yeah.
Or why are you on the internet?
Yeah.
You're going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
We have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? That's the question that we need to ask. Have you surrendered to Him in such a way that you've repented of your sins?
Yes.
And then determined that you're going to live your life in light of His Word? Have you been baptized in His name to have your sins forgiven and to get the gift of His Holy Spirit? You can get all that done. We can do that today if you're at that point where you're ready to do that. Maybe you have done all that and you still feel like you've lost control of your heart. You will if you don't take care of it. If you don't protect it. Maybe it's time, brothers and sisters, maybe it's time that we need to sit down and each one of us examine our own heart. Yeah. You know, this would be a great time to do that during this COVID-19 crisis that maybe we need to renew the battle for our heart. Because we all fight a battle there. Maybe it's time we just need to renew the battle. If you're struggling with your heart today, I know of only one place where you can find the answers for it, that God's Word. So I want to invite you today to come forward. Let us know what your needs are. Let us know what we can help you with. Share with us what's going on, what your battle is. And we'll be praying for you and helping you. If you want to become a Christian today, we want to give you that opportunity too. The water's ready. We can baptize you right now. Why don't you come today while we stand and sit with you?